guys. My daughter's real smart. Super smart, yes. You guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, I feel like I just know words.
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your highly professional hosts.
Salsa!
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Jesus Christ.
I'm getting such lag. You're all frozen. Oh, God. Fuck. No.
Are you serious?
I don't know if you guys can hear us. Oh, God.
We can hear you.
Oh, God. Okay, stop freezing. What?
Are you serious?
You guys were frozen for like a good 20 seconds for us. Yeah. But can you... You can hear me now. And Jenna!
And special guest.
Every time I'm on...
And special guest.
Adventure, isn't it? Jess.
There we go. Wow, we are off to an auspicious beginning.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Jesus fucking Christ.
I was going to say we'll fix it in post, but no, no we won't.
We really
no.
won't.
No, we won't.
Hey, James, what you drinking?
I am drinking green tea with whiskey and honey.
Oh, God, I love a cold whiskey tea, whiskey lemonade.
Yeah.
Kind of a oh, God, mm-hmm. I should have done that instead. Fuck.
Oh, it's good whiskey, too.
Yeah? What kind?
This is from St. Paul. From...
The person or the city?
Yes. Okay. Minnesota 13, St. Paul, Minnesota, barrel-aged whiskey. 84 proof.
Ooh.
Yeah, distilled from Minnesota grains at Historic St. Paul Brewery.
I didn't know we had a Historic St. Paul Brewery.
Distilled and bottled by 11 Wells Spirits.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Not 12 Wells. 11.
No. Yes.
Okay.
13 when 10's is not enough. Right out.
If you get 12, once you hit 12 wells, you have to rezone for everything, and your property tax goes up, and it's just a pain in the ass.
Well,
so.
If you hit 12 wells, you've gone too far. You got to take the exit and loop around.
Oh, you're so delightfully Minnesotan, and you're not. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the exchange rate is 12 wells to a reservoir, so once you hit 12, it's...
Yeah.
What you drinking, Jenna?
Dr. Fix-It.
Cool. It's a good old standby.
Yeah.
What about you, Jessa?
Well, mostly I'm out of Kahlua and I'm out of Dr. Cacao and Creme de Cacao.
Dr. Cacao.
I may have started. and I've only got a little bit of my cherry stuff left, and I want that for if I want a coffee drink later.
Sure.
So yeah, I'm running low on my supplies that I stocked up in March.
Booze rations.
Jenna's not just pre gaming; she's in the second half.
I'm ahead.
What about you, Jess? Are you drinking anything?
I'm drinking water because it's hot out and I need to stay hydrated. Stay hydrated,
accurate.
Folks.
Good idea, friend.
I'm going to hold up my beverage.
Oh, no.
I'm going to hold up my beverage.
Oh, okay.
And let everybody guess what I'm drinking.
I have a guess.
What is it?
Cough syrup.
Okay, wait. Before we guess, do you think he's psyching us out?
Yes.
Do you think we're supposed to say it's a Moscow Mule?
It is
and then
indeed.
He tells us,
to.
Aha,
it is indeed
lemonade.
A Moscow Mule. I am drinking a Moscow Mule from one of the copper... I got these copper cups from my wife for my birthday or Christmas or something like that. And so I am drinking Moscow Mules out of
Mary Salzman.
Out of my copper cups.
Yee.
Delicious.
That's exciting.
Oh my God.
Yes.
So one of the things I've been doing is stocking houses because I'm looking to buy like in the next year or so.
Yeah.
and there's a house for sale three doors down from you.
Oh.
Yes, there is, as a matter of fact. I saw the sign out front.
And it is wonderful, and it is just slightly outside of my price range once I can start looking at houses.
Sure, yeah.
But I was just like,
Well, last...
God, that'd be so handy.
Last fall, the house next door was for sale. And my wife's sister was actually looking at that house. Like, they were actually seriously considering it.
That's adorable.
Yeah. No, I was talking with your sister-in-law about that. And, yeah, like, she was like, I just wasn't quite. But you should let them know about the one a few doors down. Because it's
they
got,
know,
like...
Yeah, they know about it.
Two fireplaces.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Oh, if I was ready, if it was a year from now and that house was on sale, I would just buy it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd be done. That'd be my search. That'd be done.
Yeah, it's a nice
also buy. If your wife and sister-in-law live in the same neighborhood, it's going to be the most adorable neighborhood.
Well, we discussed the fact that you know, if my sister-in-law does live next door, then how easy it would be to just send the kids over. You know, just be like, you're driving us crazy. Right. Go to your aunt's house. You know, just yeah. off you go.
Whereas if I lived next door or a few doors down, you could just send Raiderly away. And she could come over and get drunk with Joe and I. It'd be delightful.
No, I mean, well, you know, send the kids over there. You know, once the kids go to bed, for example, we could head over there and just smoke a hookah and have a drink or something like that. You know, it would be so much fun because we would be close enough to be able to just pop over and yet still not in the same building. So.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been
the
sweet.
American dream.
But the couple that moved in seem really nice, you know.
They're okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm. They're a little weird. She sweeps the alley. So. Yeah,
oh, that's
a little. I think she's bored, but yeah, she sweeps the alley. Oh, anyway, what y'all been up to?
I've house stalking, basically.
Cool.
That was it. That was my thing.
Fair enough.
That's all I got.
James.
I did a show.
Ooh.
Shows are good.
Yeah, I missed it.
I did a show and it felt fucking great. It's been a little while since I did a Vilten Interruptus show, and I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Good.
Nice.
Yeah. I didn't even get to use the super gross joke I came up with that same day.
Good.
Just two of the other gross jokes I came up with that day.
Oh.
Remember, James, funny. Not gross.
No wonder Jessa beat me.
Yeah. That so, and she's funnier than you.
Yeah, even when you're trying. It's
right.
And you are very trying sometimes.
Gosh, guys, I'm right here.
Yeah, usually when we joke about Jessa being better than you, like, she's not around to appreciate it. So.
Right.
I'm just taking it all in right now.
All right.
She doesn't listen to the podcast. She's got taste.
Right.
Have I mentioned that on this podcast?
I don't know that you have, but you should.
So, okay. So, my mother insists on having a smart home because apparently that's the future or some shit.
I embrace my wiretap overlord.
Oh my god.
2000.
So we have the little Google Minis, the little like circular, they're basically just speakers essentially with lights on them that are like, what can I get for you? And they do Google functions and some other things.
Right.
More or less. And I've always looked at this and I've gone, why do you need this? Get it.
Because I want to live in Star Trek.
Yeah.
That's fair. I don't... If I do, it's not in this particular way.
Can I tell you how happy I am, by the way, that, like, the young one is the one who's like, technology, no, and the older of the two of you is like, yes, let's do it!
Okay, I'm not against technology. I'm against this technology in particular because it's kind of weird and creepy.
No, I know you're not against technology, but if you said right now, get off my lawn back in my day, I wouldn't bat an eye.
My day, we had phones that flipped open.
Today is your day.
I'm so delighted you think that.
Actually, yesterday was your day.
We watched our movies on VHS tape.
Oh, God. Okay. I love that when you're trying to be old, you're still being really young.
Yeah.
I love Jessa's version of old and how I'm not young in it.
Nope.
Jesus.
But so we have these despite my protests. And so I get back at her in these tiny ways using the homes.
Technology against me.
They're Google homes. I'm trying so hard to not say the word Google just in case it sets one off.
That's true.
Would not be the first time.
Right. But so, like, what I used to do is I used to go, Google, tell me a joke. And it just has this list of, like, I don't know, maybe 50 just awful jokes.
Like things James would be proud of. Right.
I'm proud right now.
I think it was Wait, Don't Tell Me. The NPR news quiz, where he started, like, purposefully inserting phrases to hopefully, like, trigger people's home, like he would throw in, you know, hey Siri phrases and stuff like that, just seemingly casually, but in an attempt to get people's Siris at home to do things.
That is a trend I've seen in a lot of YouTubers will make jokes about that. Sometimes they'll just like, "Hey Alexa, do this, that, and the other thing."
Like he would always couch it in a joke. Like they'd be laughing about something, and then he would be like, "And those people around the world are like, hey Siri, do this thing," but he was purposefully saying it so that they would try to do it while being casually like, no, I'm not actually trying to do, you know, but
right.
But then in interviews, he was like, oh yeah, I'm totally doing it on purpose.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
One of the things I realized as I was browsing the app, because there's an app connected to the Google Home.
Of course.
Stuff. To sort of manage it and to do all of the things without actually being like, Google. So there's this option where you can set up these like subroutines essentially where you say a certain thing and Google does a certain, like, you'll say, when I say, Google, do this thing. It'll do this predefined set of instructions. So, like, for example, I have one that is Google cake or death, and Google will give me a recipe for cake.
Oh,
but not a recipe for death.
No,
well, what
that
the
would
hell?
Be awesome.
I'm sorry, we're all out of death.
One dash of strychnine, half a cup of arsenic, and 3 drops of spider venom.
Where were you in your story?
Right. Subroutines. One of them.
Welcome to the podcast.
One of them that I did very specifically to get back at her is, Google, put on those assholes. And Google will go, Okay. Playing the latest episode of Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Yeah, that seems right.
Lower your bar.
Lower your bar.
Lower your bar. Lower your bar.
Lower your bar.
That's got to be so much worse since we're not in person and it's
nope.
just
correct.
Well, I was like matching you. I was matching you two, so on our end it was pretty well lined up. And then James joined it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Sigh.
But yes, that is one of many ways that I have gotten back at her. I also have a code word for playing Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up.
I've been Rickrolled by my daughter so many times through these things, you guys. It is atrocious. Yes. Why'd I have to have a smart one?
A smart home? Yeah, I was telling you that was a bad idea.
A smart kid. Rat.
Are you saying I'm a smart ass?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm
not
very proud.
Wrong.
Anyway.
Drink more. It kills brain cells. Or so I've
Work
been
about
told.
It.
Don't believe everything you
hear
what?
From Salsa.
Who's talking?
God.
Oh, no.
Welcome to the old folks podcast.
This is why you drink water. Stay hydrated, folks.
Hey! What are you saying? Who are you people? Why?
So I did get.
Why are all these people
Google
in this window?
I got another Google Mini. Like just
Ooh,
a few days ago. Here's the thing, though. Google sent me an email, and they were like, "Hey, do you want a free Google Mini?" And I said, "Free?" And they said, "Free." And I was like, "Yes." And so they sent me one.
I need you to understand, if you don't know this, that we already have four of them.
No, we got that.
No, we have three. You're right. We already have three of them, which covers the kitchen, the like main space area, and then my mother's bedroom.
See, that's way better than my company stalker.
What? Okay.
No, it was Google Home in the kitchen with the knife.
No.
Oh.
I also have a company that is a little overbearing and won't leave me alone. But like
you worked for them.
No, like last year or 2 years ago, I don't even remember, last year or 2 years ago, I bought a wireless mic for festival.
Oh.
And
yeah.
The company I bought it from since then has been the most like needy ex on the planet.
Oh, okay, I get the connection now.
Yeah, they're
just like, do you want to buy this thing? How about
yeah,
this
no,
thing? What if we give you 50% off of this? Can I give you this thing for free?
I immediately started getting, like, not just, like, form emails, but, like, personalized emails from one of their, like, sales rep who's like,
with?
Hey, you know, I see you bought this one thing a while back, and we're just wondering what else we can do to help your sound needs in the future, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, okay, dude, I bought one thing. Yeah! Like,
Have you told him I'm an independent performer at Ren Fairs? I can't afford anymore.
Like, I saved up for 7 years just to buy this one thing, for fuck's sake.
You want to be spending your time elsewhere, buddy. I promise you.
I swallow swords. It's already in high def. You don't want anything more.
But the thing is it wasn't like one or two here or there. It was like I was getting a couple emails a week. It was like, dude, like, holy fuck, you're coming on strong right now. Like, back the fuck up.
Take no for an answer.
See, Domino's does the same thing for me, but they have coupons for pizza, so it's okay.
You do have that Domino's relationship.
I've got that Domino's store cred.
That sweet, yeah. Sweet Domino's hookup.
To be fair, it does come in way more useful.
They have this system where if you do online orders of, I believe it's $10 or more, mm-hmm. You get 10 pizza points.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get 60 pizza points, you get a free,
medium two topping pizza.
Oh, okay. James has the details.
He had those details at the tip of his brain. Like, he's done this, mm-hmm. apparently.
James, are you also dating Domino's?
Well, I appreciate a cheesy pickup.
No, that's fair.
Hey, we're both poly. It's cool.
All right.
Yeah.
As long as all of your scheduling and boundaries.
In my dating profile, I now have to list Domino's.
Oh, God.
As a friend with benefits.
Yes.
Benefits. Cheesy two-topping.
Cheesy benefits.
But yeah, if you get 60
stuffing
pizza,
which is basically benefits.
It's basically just six orders, and I don't know why they aren't just like, on your sixth order, you get a free medium two-topping. But so I had accrued my 60 pizza points, and Domino's sent me an email in the same week that's like, hey, buddy. Do you want a free medium two topping? And I'm like, in addition to the free medium two topping? And Domino's is like, hell yeah.
What?
And so we got two pizzas and some extras.
And so, well, because I'm not eating, I don't eat cheese.
Right.
So I got a salad. Mm-hmm. It was delightful.
And I was just like, this will feed me for like a week. I have easy depression food for like a solid week now. This is ideal.
Nice.
4 hours later.
Oh, God. Oh, that's a lot of pizza.
I used to be able to go at a whole pizza. I can't anymore. I am not as young as once I was.
I very much so.
Not since those days of flip phones.
Astronomical. Also, someday this will happen to you.
I know.
Your children will hit puberty, and they will need all of the food. And good luck with that. All of the food. All of it. Jesse used to have 5 meals a day of, like, entire pizzas. Like, I'm not even really exaggerating that.
So did I.
Yeah, and I feel like you never quite fully got out of that.
I miss it.
Yeah.
Me too.
I'll eat too much food, and then I'll go, oh, man, but if only it wasn't too much food. I do the same thing. My dad used to do this all the time, where we would eat at family dinners. And he'd sit there, and there'd be like a quarter of his steak still on the plate. And he's sitting there, and he's like leaning back in his chair. He's got his hand in his stomach. He's like, "Oh, I'm real full, but like, man, there's just that little bit left. Oh, and I'm gonna regret it." And then he eats that last quarter of his steak, and he goes, "Oh, man. Oh, I regret that." And it's like, yeah, you explained all the consequences of what you were about to do.
Yeah.
You still went through with it, and you got exactly what you said you would.
Yep.
I love that. I actually picture your dad doing this, too. It's like, it's delightful.
But I've been doing the same thing, where it's just like, oh, but like, 3 more pretzels, and I eat 3 more pretzels, and I'm like,
See, here's the difference between them and me. I don't have enough self-awareness, so I just keep eating until it's gone.
Mm.
And then my brain slowly catches up to the fact that I ate too much.
And it's just laying there in the bodies, just The horror.
I love the imagery in my head. Like, Salsa finishes a meal, and his friend goes, "What is that stretched out feeling I have in my stomach? What is that bloating? Why
because
would I?"
Up until 5 seconds ago, I was trying to remember the name of the fifth Beatle, but suddenly I went, "Why is my stomach sore? What have you done to me?"
Paul Best, and it's or Pete Best, and it. I just imagine hopping up from the computer and going to the bathroom and walking by the drinking fountain and getting a sip of water and then coming back to Salsa's desk at the little brain control center and then being like, "Why do I have 50 emails?"
That
why are they all from stomach?
James, I don't think you realize it, James, but that was an amazing metaphor for ADD.
That was pretty good, actually. Mm. Yeah.
Like that was phenomenally good. Like I
don't know if that's a metaphor. I think that's just an example. Really, like.
If I can carry the metaphor one step further, it's, you know, the brain gets back from the water cooler and goes, "Why are there all these email? Oops, I absolutely accidentally deleted them. Anyway, what were we doing?"
Oh, God.
Oh.
That's been the last week for me.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, God. That is every anxiety for me. Mm. I had a work thing happen. Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God. I'm going to sum up. So somebody was supposed to tell me when something happened so that I didn't have to go back and fix a bunch of things afterwards.
Yeah. I'm guessing that they didn't and you had to go back.
They did not tell me that this happened 3 weeks ago. Oh, my.
Oh, fuck.
Luckily, I convinced certain people that they did not need metrics through the end of June, or I would have just lied to, like, the fucking vice president of the company with my numbers. Mm-hmm. I was so angry, and I found this out at 2 o'clock on Friday.
Oh, God.
And I just, like, my boss is a saint among men. Like, I was like, buddy, do you remember me saying this thing? And he was like, "Yes, I remember you saying this thing." I was like, "So you've been at all of the meetings I've been at?" He's like, "Yes, I have." I was like, "Do you remember them telling me anything about this?" And he's like, "Well, that hasn't happened, has it?" And I was like, he was like, "Oh." He's like, "Well, how long ago was it? Like a couple of days?" I'm like, "3 weeks." And he was like, "Oh." He's like, "You should go home."
And you were like, "I am like, home. I have nowhere to go."
Well, no, like the metaphorical. But he was like, "You should deal with this on Monday." And I'm like, "Well, right now, I have to deal with some other fallout from this happening." Mm-hmm. So I'll be working late on a Friday because somebody didn't tell me what I repeatedly, like, every fucking meeting up until I stopped asking for it, which was apparently just 2 weeks before they did it. And yeah. And he was like, "Well, but that's not on your report, is it?" I'm like, "Yes, it is." I said, "It's not on my report if I filter it out." And he was like, Oh. I'm like, "Yeah." So yeah, it was just a whole bunch of all of today was spent fixing past issues that could so very easily have been avoided if a bunch of guys had told me the things that I had asked them to tell me repeatedly. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, at least 10 times I put in this request. Mm-hmm. Just tell me when you're going live with this shit. I don't remember what you said that triggered that, but that happened.
Your boss is like, "Yeah, you know, just come back and deal with this on Monday instead. Just enjoy your time off." And you're like, "I can't enjoy my time off thinking that person might have time to escape the country before I murder them."
Right. No, there's that. Also, entire weekend is just me having anxiety about how am I going to fix this. Mm-hmm. Like, that was just my weekend.
Yeah.
That and I made mayonnaise with Joe.
Ooh.
Not a euphemism.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about it like that because I don't see you as a sexual being in any regard. Right.
Like, as far as you're concerned, I did it once because you're here.
Right.
Yeah, no, I get that.
And I don't even want to think about that.
No, you shouldn't. Anyway.
Jessa likes to believe that you were just abducted by aliens.
I don't like to think that either.
No. I mean, I don't want to think of my child as a sexual being because, you know, she's my child, and she doesn't want to think about me as a sexual being because I'm the parent. Like, I actualize that she is, and I'm sure she actualizes that I am, but that's just weird.
Mm-hmm.
In the history, when books are written about segues... This one will go down in history as one of the greats.
Oh?
Yes. From ranting about work and shitty people 3 weeks after the fact and suddenly just stomping on the brakes and steering right into mayonnaise. Like, holy shit. We got whiplash from that seg. And it was a sweet seg.
But no, have you guys ever made homemade mayonnaise?
I have not, honestly. No.
Only the euphemism.
Oh my god, it's so cool.
No, I've made holidays and stuff like that.
Oh
god, you guys, what have you done? Let me actually talk about it.
Okay.
And you'll see the process, is not sex. And then...
I've made ketchup and mayo.
Oh.
Okay.
Fuck. Oh, I'm done.
Oh. It's really not going to help that this description involves a beater either.
Nope.
Oh, no.
No, so all mayonnaise is eggs and oil.
Yep.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all mayonnaise actually is. You
just
can
need
add
to
other
stuff them,
and
yeah.
do whatever. And so I was like, all right, Joe, how many eggs do we need? And he's like, just this one yolk. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, it's not mayonnaise. It's like Japanese mayonnaise, blah, 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 something or other.
Oh,
but just this one yolk.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's just an egg.
Mm-hmm.
To make an entire jar of mayonnaise.
Mm-hmm.
What you are doing is you are whipping the egg with the oil very, very slowly being added to it so it doesn't separate. And I watched a yolk, one egg yolk, slowly become enough mayo to fill a mason jar.
Mm-hmm.
Just from whipping in oil.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
That is fascinating.
I know, right?
Magic trick. Yep.
It's so cool. And like Joe added like a touch of vinegar, salt and pepper, some other stuff. Like
sure, yeah.
It wasn't, mayonnaise. Lot, you know, a couple of other things that he wanted to have in his mayo.
Yeah.
But yeah, like that was like, but it was so I mentioned a beater. He doesn't actually have a beater. He has a whisk. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have any kind of mixing anything, and he's seriously considering getting something so that he doesn't have to do this process by hand anymore.
You did this by hand?
Yeah.
Jesus, yeah. Fuck, you didn't mention that fact.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's what I was getting to, is this was 20 minutes of my boyfriend whipping this shit while I very slowly drizzled oil into it.
Yeah, no, that's a oof.
You're right, this description does not sound less euphemistic.
I mean, he was just beating that egg like an ode of money. Or like a dick. I don't know.
Thanks for inviting me on the podcast, you guys. I'm having a great time right now.
See, I mean... I noticed that his right hand was distinctly larger than his left hand, but then I assumed that was because of other things.
That's what I assumed, too. But after watching him non-euphemism make mayonnaise, I get it now. Like, yeah, no, 20 minutes. It was literally 20 minutes being like this, and then having a pause, and then being like this again, and then scraping the sides, and then having to do that again. Whoa.
I think if you're scraping the sides, you need to...
Audio show.
Oh, our audience knew what I was doing.
Did they?
Yes. Anyway, so that's what I did over the weekend.
Fun.
I think we should take a break after that.
I think so, too. I am out of
I'm going to take up smoking.
I'm gonna go make some mayonnaise.
Hydrate.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, we'll be right back.
Alright. Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
Teenagers are a handful.
Yes.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm still Jessa.
There we
go. I was just waiting for that hammer to fall.
Yep, it was sitting
She's
there.
She's still here. She hasn't gotten discussed in love yet.
Yet.
The infamous yet.
Done. Done. Done.
Yeah.
So I thought we could.
What have you guys been up to?
Yeah. I was one of the things that I was just thinking about is I, as mentioned, I'm going to be vacationing in Yellowstone coming up here in a few weeks, and so I have purchased all the books. So many books.
All right. Yeah.
And I have been resisting reading those books.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Those are my vacation books, and I can't. So I have been reading other books to keep me from reading those books. And that means
I shouldn't eat these cookies. I'll eat these other cookies.
Exactly. Exactly. So I have been reading a lot of Stephen Bruce. James, we both started Jerig at about the same time. I'm already
and you're
on
done
Phoenix
already. Yeah.
Which is book 5.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm plowing through these.
For a while I lost my ability to really read, and I think it's because I was reading something that I didn't like.
Did you have a stroke?
And then in literary form, yes. And then it was romantic fiction, and it was not good. Or at least it was not as a favor. But it was not my speed. I'm glad that other people liked that book.
Fair enough.
It's not for me.
Then
I War for the Oaks, I finished in one flight.
That is such an amazing book. Such an amazing book.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my god, I can read again. And
the best part of that book is not just, A, it's wonderfully written, but B, as it goes through, you're sitting there going, oh, I know that place. I've been there.
There's that.
They're walking they're walking along a stone wall, and you're like, I know that wall.
Actually, my favorite part of War for the Oaks is the description of if downtown is the brain of or the heart of Minneapolis, I don't remember. If downtown is one specific organ, then uptown is the heart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Hennepin is the vein that runs between them.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my god, yes, wax poetical.
That's
about my
great
city.
Writing.
Yeah. But just like, yeah, like all of the stuff that happens inside First Ave, you know, it was just like,
oh yeah,
I performed there. I know what they're talking about at this moment. That's so cool.
I've eaten that bathroom. I know exactly why the doors don't open.
Exactly.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Oh my God.
What? Yeah. I have
fucking Minneapolis nerds.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. I love this city. It's gorgeous. Look at that skyline. Don't at me.
Okay.
Don't.
Anyway.
In Jess's defense, that skyline is fucking gorgeous.
It is a fucking gorgeous skyline.
If I have one gripe, it's the fucking U.S. Bank Stadium.
That's true.
It just isn't a good shape. I don't know what shape it is, but it's not a good one.
I love flying in to the Twin Cities. Because whenever you look out the window and you just have... It's this flat land, you know, the plains, and then there's this fucking city with an amazing skyline just sticking up out of the middle of nowhere. It's so pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, James, War for the
Oaks. Finish War for the Oaks in like one sitting.
Yeah. So I was worried that I had lost the ability, and then now I don't know if it's just the depression or what, but it's reading is difficult again.
We go through those.
Yeah. Jereg is good. It's a fun read. I'm also having a good time reading... Oh, you know what it is? It's probably my dad's book. It's probably the book that I got from my dad. Okay. I think that's what's got me broken again. Okay.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
I assumed it was that one, actually. So. Neo.
No, I understand. I was reading
Space Tiger.
The last book I was reading before I started reading the Stephen Bruce books. I got about two chapters in, and I just, like, this isn't happening. I needed to shift gears into something different, you know, because it was not what I needed right that. So maybe you just need to find a different genre or something with a little bit more, you know, something a little, maybe you're looking for just some mindless sword and sorcery, or maybe you're looking for a little more historical something, or maybe you're looking for, you know, something that's a little more slow and intellectual, but maybe just shifting gears into something else that can pop you out
maybe
of that
rut.
Yeah, I get the feeling. I used to read all the time. I don't as much nowadays. A lot of my reading is done, like, online.
Sure.
I don't want to say fan fiction, but like some of it.
But fan fiction?
Right.
Yeah. There's plenty of good fan fiction out there.
But yeah, totally.
I 100% do not discredit it.
I distinctly remember as a child starting to read Ender's Game and just reaching a point where my tiny brain was like, this is too much.
Yep.
Yeah, I never tried to tell you what you could or couldn't read.
Right.
But I remember you starting Ender's Game, and I was like, oh, this will be interesting.
I did not get that far before, like, the just, I don't even remember what specifically, it was something to do with, like, his reflection, or, because I don't remember the book at all, because I was small.
Yeah.
But, like, it was, my brain was just like, nope, we don't like this. This isn't a good feeling. We're just going to put this away for right now, and we're not read things for a bit.
It's a grim book.
See, that's
also.
Honestly, my mother was very similar. When I was 11 or 12, I tackled the Silmarillion for the first time. And my mom was like, you're not going to finish it, but I encourage you to try. Get as far as you can. Yeah. And I was like, okay. And I got as far as I could, which wasn't fucking very far. But you know, it was that encouragement to go for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing about Ender's Game is that it's not adult in the way, it's not about like sex or bloody violence or anything like that, but it is a mind fuck.
Yeah. It's just
it's disturbing. Twisted.
I think I don't remember the book all that much. All I remember is just this feeling of unease that I've never gotten from anything else.
It's like two steps below Umberto Eco. It's dense and convoluted.
And it is, I feel like your feeling on the book was accurate and correct.
Okay.
Yeah. You were having the appropriate responses to that.
Hooray!
The author was a fuckwit, so, you know.
There's that, too.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame because it is a good book. It's just...
The first one is. Ender's Game is good. The rest of them, not so much.
I haven't read the last one.
Don't.
Xenocide is not great. Children of the Mind, also not great.
Ender's
but
Shadow
of the Dead
just,
is okay.
But Ender's Shadow, no.
It's fine. Eh. It's not great, but
no,
it's
not great.
It's decent. I'm not going to give it like a 7 out of 10,
no, it's,
but
it's,
I would give it like a 5.
Just read Ender's Game and then pretend he didn't write anything else.
Put it at my desk. So.
Yeah.
But like...
His press is like his copy or something. Probably.
But I'm going to say that like this book, John Dies at the End, is probably an 8, and this book, Basilisk Station, is probably a 3.
On what scale?
Out of 10, on a scale of 1 to anti-salsa.
Okay. you weren't very clear on what scale you were talking about. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I surmised, but also didn't care that much, so
yeah.
Meh.
Yeah.
And have you been doing
something?
Oh, go ahead, James.
I was just going to say something that can wait for next week. Who are you going to ask, and what were you going to say?
I was just going to continue on what everybody's been reading.
Yeah.
Cartoon History of the World Part 3.
Ooh, yeah.
It's been a very long time goal, and by that I mean I started when I think Jessa was one. But it's like low back burner goal to read all the cartoon history stuff and collect all the cartoon history stuff. I've gotten 3. So I'm about to order 4. But like it's not something that I pick up on the regular because I love cartoon history, but it's also not really a read. Because it's a cartoon, right?
Yeah.
So it's one of those I kind of have to be in the mood for it. It's great. I don't remember as much as I would like to anymore because of my brain injuries, but
yeah,
it's still delightful. And if I keep reading them, maybe something will stick. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just handed Jess a War for the Oaks. By
yeah,
the
you yeah, oh,
so good.
You will love it.
Okay.
You may. You might like it a lot. I will say
James.
That it is well written.
She will.
Oh my god. Okay. back when I was this is topical. Back when I was a wee bab.
Back when
I, dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Flipped open.
I read Artemis Fowl.
And
I enjoyed the fuck out of that series. And I need to reread it because I don't remember it as well as I wish I did.
Mm-hmm.
They recently, Disney has done a movie version.
Yeah, I've seen the
of Artemis Fowl.
Heard, yeah.
And I may have talked about this somewhat.
Not very good.
No.
No. You've seen it, or just the...
I've seen about half of it, because I didn't want to see it, and then I had to come down and eat things while my mother was watching it. And so I just sort of absorbed by proxy the end of the movie and went,
No, it was not... They removed agency from every female character. They added a female character where it wasn't necessary. Although,
and in fact,
how can you be sad about Judi Dench?
Well, okay, because
Judi Dench is in it.
Yes.
Well, then I need to see it on principle alone.
Well, sweetie, it's not her proudest moment. She did very well with what she had to do with.
Fair.
like somebody handed her a pile of shit, and she's like, "I guess I'm making a pie.
I'm going to polish this."
Yes.
Yeah, it was, because the thing is that Okay, Judi Dench is great. I have nothing against Judi Dench.
Oh, mm-hmm. She's...
I have nothing against the concept of casting characters in roles that were not... Or casting actors in roles that, like, weren't traditionally them. Like POC in white roles or mm-hmm. Women in male roles. Because it doesn't fucking matter. Except mm-hmm. for this mm-hmm. one time that it did matter. Because the whole point of Holly, her whole arc... Holly is the fairy that we get to know over the course of the mm-hmm. first book.
Holly is not Judi Dench.
No. Holly's boss, Commander Root, is played by Judi Dench, but in the books is a guy. And the reason that this is important is mm-hmm. because in the books, Holly is the first female LEP officer. Basically, fairy society is kind of misogynistic.
And that removes that whole element.
Yep, a big part of her character and her connection to, like, and it's this whole basically feminist plot line about Holly needing to basically be the best because... Well, she is. If she's not, that mm-hmm.
then
isn't
every woman is terrible
her.
At it. Yeah,
it's about women as a whole, yeah. right? Because she's the first one in that field. And her boss is a hard ass on her the whole time. And minor spoilers here, but it's revealed that the reason he is such is because he knows and understands this. And wants to push her to be the best that she can be, right?
Hmm.
And so this whole like proper arc that she has is just gone.
It's completely undermined.
It's not even that Judi Dench is the only other female LEP officer. There are plenty of other female fairies on the force. In quote, I don't think I probably have a proper term for it, but.
Yeah, so there are others, and it's just...
And
the Holly character that is portrayed, like, Jessa was telling me that Holly as a character is supposed to be, like...
Holly is such a renegade.
Yeah.
And I didn't see a hint of renegade in her in the brief snippet that I saw, but all the characters still referred to her like she was.
Yeah, it was the problem of... Well, if we say she's a renegade, then she's a renegade.
Right. She's totally a renegade. How is she a renegade? She's a renegade.
We just told you.
Really was like,
Yeah, there's also the character of Juliet, who is basically the concept is that Artemis Fowl is this kid genius. His family does crimes. His dad dies, right, in the original. None of this is spoilers, by the way. This is like...
Because none of this happens in the movie.
Well, this is also like first chapter shit sure. that you learn.
Mm-hmm.
Artemis Fowl is a kid genius. His dad dies. His mom is crazy. And he's upset because his family is not quite as rich as they used to be. For the record, he still lives in a manor and has a servant.
How dare
that a bodyguard that protects him, right?
Hmm.
So he basically finds out about the fairy world and decides to use them to get gold. That is the premise.
How could you not like this story?
The main character sounds like the best bad guy ever, and I love it.
He is. He's a bad guy. He's
Artemis
an actively,
Fowl is?
Yes, Artemis Fowl is a bad guy. He's a straight up villain. He straight up kidnaps somebody and holds them hostage. Against a foreign government, like proper villain shit.
Okay.
But there's these hints of humanity that he gets from interactions with his mother, from interactions with Butler, his bodyguard, that show you that he is still a person, right? So there's this complexity to his story. And in the movie, Artemis Fowl is a good guy. And his dad is alive. His mother isn't mentioned.
Away.
She's just away.
And we don't know if that's dead or if that's crazy.
In
or
Paris.
If fucking left.
Yep. So like that whole aspect of him is removed.
Shopping.
One of his defining features is that he's not very combat capable, and that's why he has Butler, his bodyguard, who does all the hard hitting for him. In the movie, he is just as capable as anybody else in fight scenes.
That is maybe more cringeworthy than it needs of the fact that his bodyguard's name is Butler.
Actually, it is kind of funny the way that they play with that. Okay. I am kind of
Butler is awesome, by the way. He's like the best martial artist in the world and like all this other stuff in the books.
Okay.
And
Juliet.
So here's something that we can talk about. I'll just go around the room and very similar to this, they made the Shannara series.
Okay.
And it was terrible.
Sure.
Huh.
So
I don't know what Shannara is, but sure.
It was a series. I loved the books. The series was not that. So, if they could make a movie/series out of any books that you loved and do it well, which ones would you love to see on the screen?
Ironically, the two things that jump to mind right away are War for the Oaks and Vladimir Teltosh thing.
Those would both be fantastic.
And that's not just because we've been talking about them. I have thought about this before.
Yeah.
I know that they were at one point attempting to make a War for the Oaks.
I've seen some of the preview
there was
footage.
Like a trailer-y type thing.
There's a note in the back of the copy of it that I bought about the film and why it can't happen.
Right. But I think that is possibly my number one. I think it would be amazing to have right now in this time when there are a lot of things that are starting to butt up against 80s and the fact that it's set in the 80s. I think that would be great. I also feel like CGI being what it is right now would really lend itself to War for the Oaks. Mm-hmm. I feel like this would be a great time for it. I don't think it's going to happen because nobody remembers that it exists. But
is sad because it's a fantastic book.
Yeah, I think a year ago would have been the right time to film it. Because it does take place in Minneapolis, and we're missing parts of Minneapolis now. Sad. Yeah. I feel like most of the locations that they talk about are still around, but yeah, I think then maybe that makes it better. Maybe that's War for the Oaks being in the 80s, and now that everything is so very different in our city.
Yeah.
Maybe having that callback to the 80s where Prince was like, oh my God, the big thing. Oh. Anyway. Yeah, but I've always wanted to see War for the Oaks as a movie, even before I knew that they had attempted a trailer or anything.
And talking about, you know, the now would be a perfect time, you know, mentioning the Vlad Teltosh books, because like a major plot line starting in book three is like the human uprising. James, sorry, this is a little bit spoilery, but like the whole revolution thing happening from the lower classes, working up its way, you know, like that would be really, you know, interesting in this day and age as well.
And I know that the Easterners in his book are more like Hungarian Slavic based Eastern European, for reasons having to do with, you know, his middle name being Zoltar or whatever. Yeah. But the parallels are obvious. Like in this neighborhood, it's a very Mexican strong neighborhood, right? Like it's still a very similar parallel that he is drawing within that book.
Mm-hmm.
That series of books, honestly.
Yeah.
So,
Jessa, what about you?
I feel like I talked a little lot, so I was going to hold off on it, but sure.
If you have one, go ahead and spit it out. But
The last book I remember reading before I basically stopped reading for a bit was, I believe it was called Eye of Minds. And it was this super interesting book. This is one of those books where there's this big spoiler that like changes the way you see the whole book. So I'm trying to like I'm trying to approach it in a way that's like, how did I first experience it, right? But it's basically this book about this kid and his group of friends who basically log into this simulated world, like VR virtual reality world that they sort of step into, and there's all these various things you can do, and it's
like Tron,
basically
it reminds me of Otherland.
I don't know Otherland. But it's basically this hub where you can go do, there's like an area where people just like sort of go around and hang out and stuff, and then there's like various games and other sorts of activities all over the place. And basically they learn that there's some sort of conspiracy about like the virtual world and whatever, and they have to go stop it. And there's some really interesting moments that sort of make you think about the way that we would be in that kind of an environment. There is a section where they have to go into a certain game. And the game is basically you go in, and it's like your Battlefield, your Call of Duty, your what have you, war game, right? Except it's proper virtual reality. If you get hurt, you get hurt. If you die, and you come back, but you die, right? And so basically, all of the people that are in this game have like properly lost it. They are so just like in the mindset of like, I have to win, I have to like this, that, and the other thing. Sure. But they basically lost themselves to the game.
Oh.
And there's some really interesting points about human nature in the book. And there's this big thing that I can't talk about. It's great, and I want to see how they would handle it in a movie adaptation.
What's it called again?
Eye of Minds.
It sounds kind of like it would be a cross between The Matrix and Wreck-It Ralph.
Or Ready Player One and...
I would go for more of a Ready Player One than a Wreck-It Ralph.
Okay. James, what about you?
Super quick, my recommendation would be the Bartimaeus series. It's almost kind of between Artemis Fowl and Harry Potter in that people become magicians by capturing demons and having them do spells for them, doing magical work. Like a scrying lens, and everything that they do, a voice recorder is actually a demon just listening and then repeating everything faithfully. But it's an incredible world built, and the books are super well written. I don't remember off the top of my head, but the Bartimaeus is the name of a demon who is your primary camera into the world.
Bartimaeus.
Rock me, Bartimaeus. Yes.
Anyway.
But those books are well written. I think they're actually a superb replacement for other books that are written by terrible people.
Okay.
So The Ring of Solomon, The Amulet of Samarkand, yes?
Those are the ones.
Okay.
Yep.
Jonathan Stroud.
That's it. Yes. Jonathan Stroud. Okay. Yeah. They're great books, and I think it would be a good series.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm actually excited to see the Golden Compass series, because the movie was bad, but the series is supposed to be decent.
I did not know they're making a series.
It's beautiful.
I just remember that when the movie came out, all of the like religious, you know, not the like sane ones, not the sane ones like Jenna, but like the crazy ones.
Thank you for the caveat. Yes.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Extremists. My cousin sent out an email blast to all of her friends and family about, you know, the Satan's movie and stuff like that.
Because use the word daemons, isn't it? Like, there's a very specific spelling in the books. Okay.
I haven't. I don't know.
It's like demons, except instead of the E at the front, it's like the sort of A-E
the demons, combined. Yeah.
Diphthong.
Yeah. Demons. Fucking know.
Curse the French.
I only speak this language.
Bork.
I think that if done well, obviously, which is the premise of our
right.
conversation here, if done Got well... It. Mm-hmm. A series that I would love to see realized would be the Dragonlance universe.
Oh,
that's a lot of books too.
There is, but you've got the core trilogy to start from, but then you could branch out. You know.
The universe first, so that's yeah.
But I mean, there's a lot of really good story going on there.
Fair.
So. Sure.
God, I haven't read that since I was like 10.
I used to have over a bookshelf full of Dragonlance, and then at one point I reduced down to just the original trilogy and the first trilogy of the Forgotten Realms Drizzt books.
Okay.
And I had just those six from those two, and then at some point I got rid of those two.
All right.
Oh.
Well, then I'm not borrowing them from you.
Yeah.
Nah.
Every so often I look at the bookshelf and I go, why did I get rid of those? Those were good. Oh, well.
I've had those moments.
I mean, I know why, because if I started reading them, I would start buying all the books again.
Oh, man. At least the Terry Pratchett movies and TV shows are good.
They've been pretty good so far, yeah.
Jenna, you were saying?
But Salsa, if only you had a copy that I could borrow, then I would be able to read it again.
Sorry. What do y'all say? Should we take a break, or do we want to?
Yeah,
let's take a break.
Let's do it.
All right.
Give me a break. Give me a break.
Break me off a piece of this Three Musketeers bar.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
I was born naked.
And we're back. God, I'm Salsa.
God damn it.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
I'm still Jessa.
I know, right? And we should do a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
Fast Five!
I was inhaling, goddammit. Fast Five!
Stop. I'm not going to say that.
Don't.
What?
Yeah, just, we're going to leave it there. Today's Fast Five comes to us from... We're dumb.
Good.
Cool.
Troy starts this by saying, "Greetings, apriposters. I see the rest." Oh, yeah. By the way, I sent out a Facebook thing earlier asking for Fast Fives. So, give you some context here. Mm-hmm. Greetings, apriposters. I see the.
How dare you give us context for the second email?
For what he's about to say. Greetings, apriposters. I see the rest of your listeners.
God
damn it, shut the fuck up. I see the rest of your listeners have been neglecting you. Fear not. I have stepped up and provided you. God damn it, people are still talking. Never fear. I have provided.
No, really, start over.
God damn it. Okay. Greetings, apriposters.
Paul, sir, are you going to start now? I see that your other listeners have neglected you.
Greetings, apriposters. I see the rest of your listeners have been neglecting you. Never fear. I have stepped up and provided you the fuel you need to continue on. Sometimes there are three sets of footsteps in the sand, and sometimes there is one set. I think we all know we're in one set of footprints territory here. Get off my back already, you freeloaders.
Shouldn't there be four sets?
Troy is very strong.
Troy is incredibly strong.
We're walking single file to hide our numbers.
Yes. Anyway, on to the questions. Question number one. The 80s or the 90s?
80s.
80s.
As VH1 says, I love the 80s.
I gotta go with 90s because I wasn't around in the 80s, and the 90s is the close. Okay, so you know how on like on the internet there's all those memes that are like only 90s kids will remember, and it's like the smelly markers or like I don't remember what other thing, but like I remember those things, and it's like
it's
you're
because
not
only 90
special.
Kids will remember them.
I'm a 2000s kid. I remember that.
The look on your mother's face right now is priceless.
You had them, but for 90s kids, those were their sole source of entertainment.
Oh, shit.
Those smelly markers were life.
But not only 90s kids remember.
Are you saying that something...
Well, then what were the other things?
Are you saying that you saw something on TV that wasn't true?
Do you think people would do that? Just go on the internet and lie?
See, my brain was in the same place, James. I was...
Yep. Good.
Oh, God. Someone born in the year 2000.
In the year 2000...
Yeah, I'm going with the
90s. All right, that's fair.
All right.
I mean,
All right.
It's a hard choice, but, oh, man, the 80s, you guys.
I know, right?
Oh, the 80s.
Well, yeah.
That was an experience.
No.
The 90s, I just kind of wore flannels and torn up jeans through.
The 90s were way too neon and angular.
Only in the very beginning.
You... Shut your mouth.
Oh, God.
What?
Salsa. The OutRun aesthetic is beautiful.
It's hideous.
I mean, I'm not going to go that far. However,
like, I very like recently learned the difference between... No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, the entire opening sequence to Saved by the Bell was just one hideous angular neon shape after another. It was terrible.
That's disgusting.
Yes, that's
what
I said.
Not Outrun. You said Angular and Neon.
Yes.
I want to know what Jessa was going to say.
Okay. Yeah. Same.
So first of all, when you say Angular and Neon, all I can think of are the like patterns on bus seats.
Yes.
Like
Oh, gross. Yeah, Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, those are awful.
I think they're charming. I think they're quite quaint.
And get off my lawn,
I look for a in Animal Crossing, in my little arcade that I built, I looked for flooring that looked like a bus seat so that if anyone threw up, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Question number two.
So you feel about the way I feel. It's very charming.
The 90s were hideous.
Oh, it has care.
Question number two. Fuck. The 80s or the 90s?
Salsa, would you say you're Saved by the Bell?
Wait, what?
What?
Whoa.
Are you fucking with me?
What?
Question number two, the 80s or the 90s?
Did you just say the same thing?
Uh-huh.
80 degrees is way more comfortable than 90 degrees.
Since I went 80s last time, I'm going 90s now.
No, I agree with James. 80s is more comfortable than the 90s. They're both gross, but...
Yeah. Yes. I have my air conditioning set to 69.
So we've nice. Got 80s, 80s, 90s. Jessa, what did you say?
I didn't say anything, but I'm going at 90s still.
All right. Question number three. The 80s and the 90s.
Don't you dare. Ah, damn it. Ah, you're my daughter.
I am. This is a hard one. I'm going to go with the 90s.
I think I'm going to go with the 90s this time because I'm pretty sure I get to go with the 80s next time. So, So I'll go 80s, 90s, 90s.
I'm going to go with the 90s this time because Jenna is almost always right.
Oh. I should go with the 90s because Jenna is almost always right.
Well, all right.
I'm going to stick with the 80s.
Wait.
No, 80s is my horse.
Pause. I was about to say, have a paradox. Because we all wore a bunch of Doc Martin shoes in the 90s. No, we're wrong.
Hey, Salsa, what's the next question?
Question number four.
Really hard to make that into a villain salt for a while, and that just didn't work. Anyway, go ahead.
Gold or copper?
Surprise us.
No, I'm lying. Oh, it's the 80s or the 90s.
80s.
Oh, God damn it.
80s.
I'm lying. It's the 80s or the 90s.
I'm,
no, 80s is my horse. I'm going
to
the
80s. '90s.
All right, question number five. 80s or 90s?
Wait.
Zelda came out in the 80s.
I think I'm going to go with the 80s on this one, and this one in particular. I've got a good feeling about this one.
I am going with the 90s on this one.
Mm.
Now we're fighting.
As opposed to all the other times that we've answered differently on the same question.
Correct. This question in particular, we are not fighting.
Okay.
The first Zelda video games came out in the 80s. The Zelda cartoon and the CDI games came out in the 90s, 1980s.
I was about to say, with that comparison, I would go 80s.
Yeah.
So 80s, 90s, 90s, 80s, 90s.
90s, 80s.
Easy 80s, for you 80s, to say.
90s. No, it was 1 plus 2 plus 1 plus 1 90, plus
1 plus 80, 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus
1. No, I was going to say, yeah, it was only one at the chandelier. And...
Troy wraps us up by saying, you get the creativity you pay for.
Fair.
That,
wow.
That fair. I cannot argue that at all.
Yeah. Paying you in exposure.
Oh my God!
Yeah, exactly.
Shame. No.
I think his point is made.
All right, are we ready to do this?
Oh, we're all going
out. All right, here we go. We open up the second email, and it says, "Hello again, my dearest apropostors." Was there a comma in the middle of that phrase? Aww. Is that a hint to the context? Shall we see who is right and who is dead? Or at least has death several feet in front of them?
Ooh.
Mm. All right, question number one. The 80s or the 90s? You said 80s. Which music 80s. Style do you
it's
prefer?
Just right.
New wave or grunge?
Wait, new wave is like Duran Duran? Can somebody identify some new wave for me? Okay. Assuming that it's like Aha, Boy George, Duran Duran. I'll go with new wave.
Yes, Aha.
80s. I was
Adam Ant.
I think I might have to go with grunge.
Alice
Cooper. I think that's where I mostly discovered myself.
Devo, Eurythmics.
Yee.
The Knack.
Nice.
Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. Yeah, but grunge led to Creed.
Oh, Lauper.
Oh.
Yeah, grunge led to butt rock.
If we're talking Nirvana, then yeah, but we're talking about the rest of grunge too.
Oh, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Oh, dang.
Is Red Hot Chili Peppers considered grunge?
I don't know. I think they're rock, but
I don't think
they're like on the line.
I don't consider them grunge at all.
Oh.
Oh my shit, now Tilius Pompilius is considered new wave. I'm going with that.
Yep.
Okay.
New wave.
Sorry,
winner.
Russian.
I'm going grunge.
I'm going grunge.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my daughter.
Question number two, the 80s or the 90s.
All right.
Which TV show would you prefer? The A-Team or Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
A-Team.
Straight up A-Team.
Fresh Prince. Fresh Prince broke the fourth wall when they swapped the actors that portrayed Aunt Vivian.
I gotta go with the A-Team.
I'm gonna, thank you.
I just really love that cheesy 80s action feel.
Exactly, where they gun people.
You don't get that anymore.
They gun people
here's my
bleeds.
Here's my conflict. I love... Yes!
Jenna?
So my problem is that, I fucking love the A-Team action style, whatever stuff. But there were so many incredible issues that Fresh Prince tackled.
Mm.
And stuff very specific to race and class that is still relevant today. And I love and delight the romp that the A-Team was, and it did from time to time, handle certain things, but I feel like the messages were better handled with Fresh Prince, or at least more accessible, more understandable with them.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going Fresh Prince, but not happily.
I think either answer is fair.
Right, I'm just I'm sad because A-Team, but I think I'm just... Fresh Prince is going to eke it out just a little bit based on relevancy today.
Okay.
also.
Nice.
I feel like I've made my point.
Very nice. And who can argue with that?
I would agree. Delicate.
Question number three. The 80s or the 90s? Which would you rather wear?
90s.
A Frankie Says Relax shirt or a flannel shirt?
Okay.
I honestly don't know what a Frankie Says Relax shirt is.
I'm too gay to pick anything but flannel.
What are you wearing?
Just says wearing flannel now.
I'm literally in a plaid. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Yep. There's even pine trees on it. It's really impressive.
I'm going to go with flannel. It's comfortable. I'm Minnesotan, not Californian.
What is Frankie Says Relax?
That's from the... Frankie Does Hollywood, the band did Relax, Don't Do It, When You Want to Go Through
It,
Relax,
Don't Do It. Because that's the relevant portion.
Well, it's just a t-shirt that says Frankie Says Relax, but it's a reference to the Frankie Goes Hollywood song, Relax.
I gotta say flannel.
So,
yeah.
The option is a t-shirt that says Frankie Says Relax or mm-hmm. a flannel. Those are the options. Yeah. I'm going flannel. Yeah. Because I don't know how to relax, you guys. Have you met me? I could wear it ironically, but I'd get bored of that.
But then you give up flannels.
Right, and I fucking love
flannels are great.
Flannels.
I can see a Frankie really Says Relax shirt that's crossed out, and then it says, but Jenna says keep going or something.
Okay, I would wear the shit out of it.
Frankie's crossed out, says Jenna. At the bottom, it says, get your ass to work. relax.
Frankie says relax. Jenna says no.
Jenna says relax when you're dead.
Jenna says 50 hours, motherfucker, do it.
Very literally. Very literally.
All right.
Anything worth doing is worth doing on hard mode.
Question number four, the 80s or the 90s. Which cartoon would you rather watch? 80s Transformers or 90s X-Men?
I think this has been
the first one that has really stymied me, but I got to go with Transformers.
Why?
Oh, really?
Why?
Oh, the movie.
Fuck. I think I'm going X-Men.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm gonna go X-Men. I don't have a good reason other than gut.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I've just never been that, like, connected to the Transformers as a thing.
I mean, that was a really weird 80s conceit.
Well, yeah.
They're like, robots that turn into cars and then blow up other robots.
And that was normal in the 80s. Like, you really
that be part of was the normal in the 80s.
What more could you aesthetic. Ask for?
Dinosaurs? Trains, construction equipment.
And they turned into
gun,
all of those things.
Apparently. I know.
And wait.
What more could you ask than cars
wait,
shooting
no,
other
no, no,
robots?
No, no. And here is the Trump card. Orson Welles.
You.
Don't say Trump.
Oh, as Unicron.
Yes.
I have no opinion. This has not swayed me.
This was before.
I'm a big fan of X-Men.
So I'll see you're old.
Every July, Transformers grow here.
I just don't like know celebrities really.
I really don't. Either.
I'm not a names person.
No.
People
it's not about
like,
the celebrity.
I think
it's not about the celebrity. It's about the voice.
There's that. Okay, imagine Brain from Pinky and the Brain being a giant robot planet.
Oh, that does sound lovely.
See, but I can only picture Brain.
Orson Welles. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm just ever so slightly X-Men.
I think
it's because, honestly, I'm going to say it's because there are more female characters for me to identify with. Mm. I think that's what it is.
That's a really good point.
Okay, here's the important question of the day. Did 90s X-Men have Gambit in it?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, okay, then definitely
no,
the
X-Men. Gambit was my guy. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Because Gambit is just cool.
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Hell yeah.
Of course Gambit was
good. Yeah, no, and don't get
Gambit and Nightcrawler.
X-Men was phenomenal, and yes, Gambit was absolutely my guy. But Transformers was really fucking good, too.
Oh, absolutely.
There is a
90s X-Men
lag.
The cartoon was... It was a soap opera for children, but it had adult soap opera everything. Like, it was just a soap opera that was a cartoon with superpowers. That's it.
All right. We're going to do one more, the 80s or the 90s. Which would you rather drink? Ecto Cooler, the 80s, or Crystal Pepsi, the 90s?
Ecto
Cooler.
Ecto Cooler.
Who the
All
fuck
day.
Drinking Crystal Pepsi?
Who?
I did.
All right. Hold on. Here's how I can prove this. Do you know which drink has been at Burger King?
Ecto Cooler.
It was not Crystal Pep. They had Ecto Coolers like about fucking 15 years ago or something. Because Burger King, like, they've got Surge now. They keep bringing back like old drinks. Like, they keep finding those old whatevers. But they had Ecto Coolers at Burger King for a while. And they have never had Crystal Pepsi because why the fuck would you?
That's true. But I've also had Crystal Pepsi within the last 5 years.
I am sorry.
It's
Why?
Still a thing?
Kind of.
He found a 25-year-old can.
Oh, God.
No. They did a short run of it. I think right around the release of Ready Player One, the movie, probably related.
Sure.
But... if I had a choice between the two, I would mix them because I'm a heathen, but if I had to choose, I would say Ecto Cooler.
No.
Yes. Gross. It is.
You are so gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the concept of that. Like, you, like that's a brain worm. Like, you put that in my head, and I'm like, I want it out. I want to have not thought about that.
Yes.
Too late.
Well, when I, the first place that Salsa and I worked together.
Oh,
yeah. It's like
the first place that Salsa and I worked together, I had one of my coworkers convinced, because I would always buy the spicy hot V8 and a can of Monster at the same time. I had someone convinced that I was mixing them.
Oh. Nope, I hate that one more. I hate that one more.
Gross.
All right.
Hey, I did feel strongly about the last one.
That's fair.
I did feel strongly about 80s for the last one.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to wrap this up. Troy says, yeah, those had nothing to do with Hamilton. I've been busy listening to the soundtrack a lot again. I hope this has found you happy and healthy. Love and cashews, Troy to Troy.
Aww.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. Please send the first email should contain nothing but the choices, and the second one should repeat those choices and then give us some context. Who has a shout-out?
I want to give a shout-out to my daughter.
Yay!
Aw.
Yay!
Because she's awesome, and she turned 20 yesterday. And I love her a lot, and she's the best. And yeah. Yep.
Oh. Can I give like an anti shout out?
I mean, like you're a guest. You can do
like a reverse shout out where I'm like.
I mean, there's no penalties for doing anything.
Okay, well, I'm going to give an anti-shout-out to Grubhub for consistently being bad.
Fuck, I hate those people. Oh, my God.
I can't. Like, I'm not even going to get into the whole story because that's too much, but I'm giving an anti-shout-out to Grubhub because they are consistently just bad
at
doing the one thing that they're supposed to do. I guess it's a call out. I guess that's what an anti shout out is a call out. I guess that's what that, yeah.
All I wanted to do was buy my daughter a birthday dinner. That's all I wanted.
I'm amazed that like we have the conveniences of modern society and yet capitalism still manages to find a way to fuck them up. Anyways, there it is. That's my call out.
I'm gonna second that call out. Fuck Grubhub. I had literally uninstalled Grubhub like 3 months ago. Then I needed a delivery that was only done by Grubhub, so I reinstalled them. Then they were like 2 hours late,
and they missed
an item. And then I have now uninstalled Grubhub again.
My mother cares more deeply about this than I do.
I'm so angered.
Fair enough.
Anyways, more positive vibes.
Yeah. I want to give a shout out to the Sleep With Me podcast. I've mentioned them before. Not only have they turned somebody's power to be super boring into a superpower, helping others to sleep, but they are currently donating their profits on merchandise and donations to an amazing cause geared toward equality and progressive goals. It's fantastic to know that the host does a much better job of explaining it, but basically he says, we can't sleep soundly in a place that doesn't feel safe, and we can't feel safe if there isn't justice. So it's like, that's paraphrasing, but it's a great podcast. I wholeheartedly recommend it if you're having difficulty falling asleep. And yeah.
Send me a link.
All right.
I will.
All right. I'm going to give my shout out to Elmer's Slime. Yep, you heard me.
Okay.
Elmer's,
not Elmer's Glue.
No, Elmer's, the maker of Elmer's Glue, has a. I don't know what it is, but it is a compound, a liquid that you add to Elmer's Glue, and it turns it it turns it into a non-Newtonian fluid, basically.
Nice.
And so my daughter just had her birthday party this last weekend, and she's 7, and we can't do the whole like get together and have a party thing.
Yeah.
And so they had a Zoom party. So I made cupcakes, and we had these little packages of Elmer's slime kits that we distributed to all of her friends on Saturday. And then on Sunday we had the party, and so they had the Zoom meeting, and then they all made slime in their own houses. And basically what it is, these little slime kits, what they have is they have either they have a red and a purple bottle of Elmer's glue, and then this little compound. And what you do is you take the glue and you dump the whole bottle of glue into a bowl, and then you add this compound a little bit at a time. And like I said, it kind of turns it into a non-Newtonian fluid. So it turns the glue into this malleable, you know, GAC-like substance. And those kids had so much fucking fun making slime and playing with slime with their friends, over digital, media, and
right.
it's not exactly the same as having a birthday party where everybody gets together, but it was kind of the second best thing that we could do, and they enjoyed themselves. Yeah.
Can I just say that, like, I'm not much of a kids person, but that sounds adorable.
It kind of was.
Just, like, the mental picture of a bunch of, just, like, a wall full of children making slime and playing with it in these bowls and, like, yeah, just having a good time.
And all of them shouting over each other, which was delightful.
That's a podcast.
But yeah, so and honestly, even if you're an adult, go ahead and get yourself a box of the Elmer's slime, because it's actually kind of fun to play with. But yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you don't need the box. I think you can just do that with household products.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. But this is a nice, like, self-contained thing, and they have the colored glues. And, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Colored glues, I can see. Yeah. So...
Is that a salsa joke?
No.
Ha! 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 It wasn't, but it is now.
I'm confused.
Salsa's colorblind.
Ah.
And we mock it all the time.
I don't think we're making fun of him. We're not laughing at him, we're laughing about him.
I mean, that's a very fine line, James.
I'm not sure it works like that. You cannot
that's
see
fair.
It, but Salsa is flipping them both off.
Who's got something to plug?
Oh, I do. I have a couple of things to plug, actually. So this Friday, yes, this Friday... is a Fringe benefit.
This Friday?
This Friday is Reverend Matt's.
Not next Friday?
Nope, it's this Friday. Sadly.
Jesus.
Because there are other things going on this Friday as well. But next Friday is Reverend Matt's Fringe benefit.
You said next Friday.
This Friday. God damn it! Ah, oh, son of a bitch. I hate you, Salsa. Get out of my head.
the Salsa victory dance
how happy you are about
is
that.
Amazing.
Motherfucker. Anyway, so yeah, this Friday is Reverend Matt's Fringe benefit. And I will provide a link. I think it starts at 7. There are a bunch of amazing artists that are going to be a part of this Fringe benefit. Show up with your money. But if you cannot show up with your money for this Friday... this Friday, or if you are otherwise engaged in other things that are happening this Friday, fear not, because in 2.5 weeks on the 31st, which is also a Friday, but it is not this Friday or next Friday, it is the Friday after next Friday, on the 31st,
wait, so which Friday?
Oh, my God.
next Friday, starring Ice Cube.
I'm just going to leave. So on Friday the 31st is Fringemas. This is the thing that I've been talking about for months, the group that I've been working with to try to pull this together. We have some incredible acts. We have what was once known as Bollywood dance group. They have a different name now, but it's the same group. So we will have a Bollywood performance. We will have Colleen, I don't remember her last name, but she does some musical stuff that is absolutely amazing. I am personally especially excited for Hit the Lights.
Woo!
I know, right? James is like, wait a minute. I've seen
fucking love their productions.
They are so good. Hit the Lights does puppetry-based stuff. Mm-hmm. All sorts of different styles of puppetry. And I think the one that we saw was mainly shadow puppets.
Yeah.
But there was some other puppetry stuff involved, and it was so good. Anyway, that is July 31st, starting at 7 o'clock. Go to Adventurous Artists. either AdventurousArtist.com on the website. You could go to Adventurous Artists on Facebook. We have a Twitter. We have an Instagram. There are places where you can find information. Fringemas will be hosted by Allison Witham, Shannon Custer.
Nice.
And previous guest, Duck Washington. There will also be a silent auction where you can bid towards various things that people have donated, mostly artisan-based, so they're all going to be unique. And, yeah, Friday the 31st, 7 p.m., go like Adventurous Artists, go find the event on Facebook, and go make sure that you're signed up to get the notifications, because it will be streamed. The whole thing is going to be streamed, and I have been working on this for months. It is incredibly important to me. So yeah, just go. Just do it.
Woohoo!
Relax, Genesis, check out Fringe.
Adventure well, started.
And that's next Friday.
Oh my god.
I think Jenna's literally going to murder me.
All of us might.
That's fair. Anybody else?
I mean, last time I plugged my website, my website's not any more built, but like, you can come look at it. I think it's pretty neat, even if it doesn't have anything on it. I said I was going to, like, finish my computer, but the final parts haven't arrived yet, but they're about to.
Soon,
and hopefully I can just finish it, and then I can actually, like, start do streaming and, like, other things.
Soon and very soon.
Then I'll be more motivated to finish the website so that I can have a schedule up, and, like,
sure.
That's, I'm hoping that's how the snowball rolls.
It has...
But I think it's good to plug it for future people that are listening to this not in the now times and maybe are listening in the times when I'm actually doing things.
That's fair. What is the website?
My website is jessabelolmsted.com. We looked this up recently. There's a website where you can look up like how many people in the U.S. have your name. I am the Jezebel Olmsted in the U.S.
That's it.
I am the only one. Awesome. So I'm allowed to have this domain because I can't share it with anybody else. Quite literally.
Yet.
Yeah, that's my plug.
If nobody else is gonna plug it. Fearless has a show.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
I know, right? It's weird because it's all sneaky and stuff. But Fearless is doing, every year Fearless does a murder mystery on the Paddleford, which is a paddle boat in the Mississippi. We're not doing that this year because we're not doing that this year. Yeah. There are some reasons. However, Fearless is doing a virtual murder mystery on the onlines. You can get tickets for it and still be able to participate in the murder mystery stuff. I believe that is also this Friday. So you can get tickets through Minneapolis Parks and Rec, I think. I don't remember. I'll find a link. If you have liked Fearless Comedy Productions, which I know you have, because why wouldn't you, there is an event built there. You can go find that information there as well. Tickets are $12, I think. And yeah, then you will be able to participate in a virtual murder mystery.
Ooh. All right. Anything anything else to mention? Anybody?
Bye bye, I love you, bye bye.
Going twice? All right. Thank you so very much for listening to this episode. Thank you so very much to Troy for sending us the Fast Five. Thank you to our very special guest, Jezebel. As always, on behalf of myself and James and Jenna, thank you very much for listening, and eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha. Cha, 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 cha. Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.